That's just so bad.
Which city's better than the RGB?
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of the Best of Five. Tonight on the show, we are going to talk about Infiltration. We're all waiting the final verdict. Everybody's made up their mind, apparently, because of some documents in Korean that they can't read. But assume are true. Shout out to Must Be Hacks.
You're making it sound like it's ridiculous to feel that way.
Homeboy, we're going to talk about it. But you got to wait until the facts are in, right? Now, first and foremost,
we're going to argue later. So I can already tell that.
before we get the show rolling, Elon, would you do me a favor and just punch in on these eyes right here?
Hey, I'm blocking here.
Can you do that?
Thank you to Gumball Dead for subscribing. Gumball and Dead. MustBet4X before the show for subscribing.
Must Be Hacks, thank you. But Donka, just explain yourself. What's going on with your eyes, bro?
It was a long Blaze Blue cross tag battle tournament the other day.
Yeah?
Blaze Green.
Okay. Because typically your eyes aren't red, but today you came in your eyes red.
You're doing it on the natural bags under my eyes. You're making me feel bad.
Well, it's because you're in law school now and could even put all-nighters. And this is the result. Is that what you're telling me?
Pretty much.
All right, guys. We do have a fighting game podcast to get to. If this is the first time watching, we talk about all the current events. We talk about the tournament results. We talk about Street Fighter V costumes. We will never miss a Street Fighter V costume. and we're joined, as always, by Steve, Ace King Offsuit Jerk. That's him right there. Thank you for the salute. And John, Velociraptor Guerrero, who is typically on his phone and is too cool to pay attention during the show. I think he's taking notes for his Event Hubs podcast.
Oh, can we talk about that for 10 minutes?
Yeah, go ahead.
I got an interview with Mike Ross. It's going live pretty soon.
You're kidding. So, is that for real?
No, I'm not. Yeah.
Damn, that's a scoop, dude.
Wow.
Can you tease it? What's on it? What do y'all talk about?
I forget. Anyway, let's do the best of five. Let's go ahead.
What? Yo, that might be the first Event Hubs podcast I listen to.
What happened to Infiltration?
Let's do a recap. We'll get into Infiltration.
Recap.
Yeah, let's talk about fun stuff first before we talk about not so fun stuff. Very, very busy week for the CPT in particular, but pretty much every fighting game circuit had something going on. Let's kick it off in Chile for Never Give Up 2018, a Latin American event, and they have been very good to Chris T. He went down, got the win over Young Hu in the grand final, picking up his fourth ever Latin American win. He's getting it done south of the border. 150.
Steve, don't be inappropriate.
That's you putting.
And after what we were talking about before the show, God.
I'm trying to be respectful here. I'm trying to be all business because that's what I am. But Chris T was worried about his place in CPT finals because that cutoff line keeps creeping up and up and up. And we might dive into that a little deeper a little later on. But those 150 points really, really helped. But that wasn't even the big event. We had three other big tournaments. The first one was at EGX. This was the open premiere in front of the European finals. Two tournaments at that event. First one had a huge impact because Momi came through the winner's bracket, got it to 2-2, and had tournament point. Hey, I'm but lost here. To Luffy and then lost the reset 3-1. So Luffy gets the win, gets 700 points to get close to the top of the standings. Momi nearly had enough to almost lock up a spot in the CPT finals. Instead, he got 270, good amount for him. Plus, he locked up a spot in the European final the next day. If we take a look at that, but it wasn't his day on Sunday. It was the day of Angry Bird. The Zeku star is headed to Capcom Cup. He began the weekend 50th, did enough to lock up his spot on Saturday in this top eight, and he made the most of it. Beat Momi, beat Akainu, beat Hurricane, beat Akainu again. That last set was ridiculous. There were great plays. There were nerves. But in the end, Angry Bird locking up a spot, and he is headed to Capcom Cup.
Now, notably, one thing I'll say is we've been talking about multiple character finishes, and Angry Bird did pull out the Akuma to beat the Kami players. And so it's just another one of these guys who's having a multitude of characters factor into their wins. And it just is becoming more and more evident that's going to be the future of the game.
Got to do it. Got to have more than one character, John. Steve, you're in the middle of a recap.
I guess we are. So that wasn't even the only premiere of the weekend. We also had Tokyo Game Show, the CPT event there. And if you got to listen to that, what was the commentary team for Top 8? It was Z, Giuna, and Kenny Omega.
Mm-hmm.
So there was some entertainment on the mic, entertainment on the screen as well. Tokido turning Grand Finals into a speed run, came all the way through the loser's bracket, won that 6-0. To take that boosted prize pool, approximately 50,000 or closer to 45,000 for that first place prize. So you saw a bunch of players who may have gone to the European final in other circumstances, choosing to go to Tokyo Game Show. The other name to note here is Trashbox. He was one of four Japanese players to make top eight. But the other three already had pro licenses, so he, with his finished, is now a licensed Street Fighter Pro in Japan. And with all of that said, we can take a look at the global standings. We see a few more names in green. NL and Oil King have officially clinched spots in Capcom Cup, as has obviously Angry Bird, number 52 in the standings now. So he's got, so that takes off one extra spot. You know, people were hoping that maybe that someone like Phenom or Luffy would win that European final so that one more European player below the cutoff can get in. Instead, Angry Bird takes that spot. Also keep in mind, Mena, in danger of dropping out of that top 26, so that can affect the math a little bit as well. Mm-hmm. You see Dogra now in that final, Dogra and Akainu in that race for the final spots, right around 500.
So you're saying that if by points he won't be in the running, but he's obviously in,
that would add us, it would take away a spot if he fell out of the running.
Well, yeah, you'd have to finish in the top 26 instead of the top 27. It doesn't really hurt the math because he doesn't count. But what it does do is him not getting points means that other players who are in contention are getting points. So if you're someone like Akainu and you're in the race for that final spot, you want Mena to earn those big chunks. You want Tokido and Fujimura to get top two, top three. You don't want Punk or Mago or Brolinho or Momi getting those points and possibly passing you.
And what happens if, say, somebody like in the top eight gets banned from the Capcom Pro Tour?
The assumption is that it would open up another
global
spot depending on how they qualified. So if Mena did something to get banned... it's not clear how that would affect us, but if one of these points qualifiers do, then it would presumably open up another global spot, and we'll see if that comes into play.
I think we'll find out here soon, won't we?
We might.
Okay.
Yeah, Tokyo Game Show wasn't just for it wasn't just a CPT event. There was also a national Budokai tournament for Dragon Ball Fighters. It was a bit of an upset. You see Fenrich there, you see Goichi there. Neither of those guys won. It was Kaimart guy who's been going to a lot of the fighting circle, I think it was. He took it over Superboy, over Fenrich, over Goichi. So he is the national champion. And he's going to be... Oh, go ahead.
He took it with Vegito, Teen Gohan, and Kid Buu. So not a team that you have heard a lot from two of the characters on. So I think it was very refreshing for sure.
Yeah. And if you haven't gotten a chance to look at his play, he is slated to go to Southeast Asia Major. So you'll get a chance to check that out there.
Time out. We have some subs that we need to thank. Sorry to do it. Sorry to Must Be Hacks, who is listening on the audio podcast and will likely be very offended when we interrupt the show, flow up the show to do some claps. But thank you. I think it was Quest Beer earlier.
Quest Beer was one of them. And Grown Up Mike.
Grown Up Mike, not to be confused with Beat Up Miguel, which is Michael Donkashiller right here.
Jesus, man.
You look like a beat up version of Grown Up Mike.
It's probably true.
Steve, I just am a beat up version of Grown Up Mike. I don't even look like him. I just am. Tokyo Game Show also hosted another Tekken Pro Championship event. This is an event for the licensed Tekken Pros in Japan. Hakai-O ended up taking it over double in the grand final, and Pecos finished third. Not only was this a chance to earn some money, but some representation spots on the line. Hakai-O is now going to head to the Esports World Championships in November in Taiwan as Japan's representative. And then the top three here, if you'll remember, we mentioned the Japan versus Saudi Arabia esports match that's coming up at the beginning of next year. Hakai-O, Double, and Pecos will now be the Tekken team for Japan, to represent Japan at that event.
Hey, shout outs to Trevzor for the sub. How about some good old fashioned judge dog?
Thanks, Trev.
Thank you.
John's adjusting his glasses instead of clapping at this point. It's just gotten to a new level.
You get one interview with Mike Ross, and all of a sudden, you're too good for best of five.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the correct answer.
Steve?
But there was more tech in here. This past weekend and this coming weekend are dedicated to the online events. So you had events in Australia, North America, Latin America this weekend. Dion Gray taking it over, and I swear this is his name, Master Bader.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch you. What was his name?
His name is Master Bader.
Guys, I'm having audio. All right, I think I'm back. What was the last thing you said, Steve?
His name is Master Bader. God.
That's immature.
Thank you. Joey Fury. we're moving along here. Joey Fury taking it over Anakin for the North America East. Big result for him because he was sort of right around that cutoff line. Now he's got some breathing room. Speed Kicks finishing third, which is important, and we'll show why on the next screen. Actually, let's take a look at that next screen for the results, or for the current standings. The cutoff for that 19th and final spot, Nobi still has it at 291. Speed Kicks at 290, just 1 point back. So he's going to have to do something at Canada Cup. Also, keep in mind that the next offline event is going to be in Latin America, TXT in Colombia. So if either our Hades or Tekken Emperor win that event, they're all of a sudden going to be right in the thick of things.
Guys, we have two subs to thank. Let's hit them with the Olsen Twins.
Yay!
And that is to Senpeezy and McFine. Thank you very much for the subs. Appreciate you. John, thank you. One's enough. I'll take it.
Well, two people, it gets two claps.
Yeah. Come on, John. And that's always also why we put up the Olsen Twins, obviously. As you were, Esteban?
Let's go to the Middle East for the Injustice Intercontinental Championship qualifier. You saw one member of Team Nasser Esports have a big weekend in Angry Bird. Two more of them had a big weekend in Injustice. Tekken Master and Shark Teeth finishing 1-2 in the Middle Eastern qualifier. They are both heading to the Intercontinental Championship, along with K-Top, Dubasick, Gilbags, and Waz. Two more players will be determined at the European West qualifier, and the winner of that eight-person finals will head to the Injustice Pro Series Championship, which we'll have more details on later in the show.
Am I the only one who thinks it's funny that someone named Tekken Legend got seventh? Like, I don't know.
Tekken Master got first. It seems appropriate. I mean, you know, he doesn't have to be a legendary, like, you know, winner of tournaments.
Tekken Legend used to be the man. You know, that he became a legend. Now he's just in the background. Now it's about the current master.
Mm. Don't ever name.
Does that mean there's a legend Vader?
Oh my gosh.
This Elon, it wasn't that funny.
Yeah, Elon's cracking up in the studio over here.
It was not that funny.
John, this your hilarious joke keeps getting stepped on. What were you going to say, bud?
Yeah, it's not even worth it now. I was going to make fun of Perfect Legend, but now it doesn't matter. Go ahead.
All right. Jesus. There was one other big event this past weekend. And ignore the name up top because I made this when I was tired. But CEO Taito.
Oh, man. Everyone's so fucking confused now.
There you go. Well, thanks, Elon.
Okay, no one's confused anymore.
Along with the assist.
Make him hold the embarrassing L.
I will hold that L for all of eternity. But this has become, you know, it started off as sort of like it's a nice little anime term. Now it's a big freaking deal. You've got a bunch of players coming over from Japan. Sumito.
Also, Jonah won cross tag battle, not Kyame.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
You know what? I'm just going to fire myself.
And that's the second tournament he's done that in a row.
Yeah. I'm fired. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Press so 1 if you still want Steve on the show, guys.
I'm going to press.
Put him up.
Press 2 if you want him fired, guys.
Yeah. 2 for fired, 1 for Steve stays. Wow. It started with a 2, Steve. I thought this would be a moment where the chat would just show their undying love for you.
There's plenty of ones
there's
down
mostly
here.
Ones.
Oh, good. Oh,
there's,
good.
There's a 69.
Okay,
that's funny.
We could let Elon laugh for 10 minutes.
Ooh, I like hashtag takes these jobs.
What does 5 even
say? But yeah, notably, this is Jonah's 1 SCR and CEO Taku, both BlazBlue and BlazBlue cross tag battle over hefty competition. So he's looking like the best BlazBlue player around right now.
People are saying, I didn't watch any CEO Taku because I've on the rare occasion that I watch a stream, it's on mute and I'm probably half asleep these days. However, I did see on the Twitter chatter that BlazBlue cross tag battle was fucking lit, as you would say, because you're a kid. Was it?
It's pretty lit. I mean, I think it was like then. I don't know, man. I didn't really watch very hard. I know he plays the Scythe characters and they've won like every tournament so far. So there's that.
People here are saying it was sick. And it was awesome in all caps. So I guess that's.
I just can't wait to see Efren's evolution into a 100% dad, where he just does dad jokes and tries to be cool but isn't. But you're still cool now. It's just eventually you won't be. And stuff.
That's questionable.
Move on with the damn recap. Crying out loud.
That is actually it for the recap.
All right. Well, next on our rundown. Was I still playing that? Is that from mine? Whoops. Next on our rundown is, as Steve put it, shall I read exactly how you wrote it?
Hold on. Okay, now you can read it as I wrote it.
Infiltration allegedly did some shit.
I shouldn't be laughing at that.
Probably not.
Yo, so yeah, late last week, started coming out I believe Steve hit us up in the Facebook chat. Y'all seen this shit? And
this alleged shit.
By and large, or the long short of it is that there are allegations that Sun Woo Park, if I'm pronouncing his name right, Infiltration, was involved in domestic violence, physical altercation with his wife, and as well as, for as an added bonus, also like hiding money to not have to pay taxes or something to that effect. Steve, do you want to clarify any of that?
Well, not to pay taxes, but not to have to. Okay, so I'll go a little more in depth. Basically, battery itself is not a criminal offense in Korea. Only
that can't
only,
be right.
No, it's a civil offense. So you can be sued for money, but you can't be sued for jail time.
Okay.
And so the alleged thing there is that he hid the money to not pay for parts of the civil offense. But that I have no idea.
Okay. And then, like, you know, Reddit detectives have been finding the criminal report, the court documents. Apparently there's even, like, audio that his wife allegedly recorded. And it's all feeling really icky, to say, you know, the least. His own team, Panda Global. Sorry, guys, it was Songwoo Lee. I apologize for that. They as well have come out and said, have patience with us, we're investigating, and when we have something to report, we will. They have not yet, however, as I understand it, that has to do because there's a Korean holiday, and they're waiting to get for the offices to open up to get all the information. Regardless, it's looking pretty damning. Infiltration has not said anything to my knowledge. I have poked and prodded and asked people close to him if they know anything, and nobody has either spoken to him or said that they've spoken to him or have anything to add to it. It's not looking good. He's lost over 12,000.
The big thing is like whether or not these are allegations, right? That's the big argument right now. Is it's hard to tell in some ways because the court documents are obviously in Korean, and for a while people were having problems getting to them due to like paywalls and Korean IP blocks and various other ways they make it more difficult to get to information in Korea. And the supposed reason why it wasn't coming out of Korea via people's mouths is because the libel laws in Korea basically stop you from damning other people whether or not it's true. And so the big question is, are these allegations, did that civil case actually happen? It seems like it did. I mean, yet again, I don't read Korean myself, but a lot of people who do have said that, yes, these are legitimate, and you can get to the pages that they stated these are on. So, I mean, it just depends on how many people's translations you don't believe at this point.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, there is a lot of versions of the story, but all of them include him beating his wife, allegedly, right? What I want to see are, okay, this is the official report. We did our research. This is what happened.
And we don't have that. I totally agree.
So I'm not saying people are lying about this. I'm saying I want the finished, final report on it so that we can adequately express our rage at something so horrific as beating or domestic violence or beating your significant other. There's a lot of other implications here that we can splinter off into other than the fact that this is horrible. But does he deserve a ban? Should Panda Global drop him? Does he ever show his face in the FTC again? If, of course, all of this turns out to be as bad as it sounds like. Where would you guys like to take this lovely topic, Steve or John?
I haven't said much on it. We covered it like on Event Hubs when it got to the point where, like, this is something that everyone's talking about. But like you guys are saying, that's when you're talking privately about it, you can go anywhere you want and say anything you want. And, you know, but when we're in front of a camera like this and when you're trying to communicate accurate news to people, it's like you really have to go off of the facts. And there are a lot of wishy-washy halfway, we're not sure yet facts. So it's like,
certainly,
it's hard to make punch commentary on it. And that's why I think we're sitting here trying to, like, where are we going to go with it? It sucks, like the whole situation, regardless, like at best, it's just a misunderstanding, and Infiltration has a lot of negative PR, and at worst, and what it is looking like very much is that he's, you know, abused his wife, and no one's happy to hear about this. No one wants to discuss it. You know, it's just, it, It's in a weird place with not a lot of information, and it's a crappy subject. So that's kind of where we stand.
What's wild to me about it is the fact that we don't have an official response about it yet, right? Any kind of rebuttal, any kind of like PR something from PG,
or even him. You know,
PG's made a couple like interim comments, like we're researching this, we're doing this.
Yeah, but that's like barely a put your finger on the dam.
We have one actually that we can show that they just put out yesterday. After they announced on Friday, or they announced on Thursday that they were investigating the claims, and then on Friday they announced that during this investigation, Infiltration would not compete at Tokyo Game Show, and then yesterday. They came out with this statement saying that, in short, they're continuing to investigate, but because of the holiday that's going on right now, Chuseok, I apologize if I mispronounced that, that they are not able to get access to key pieces of the investigation, but they do expect to have a final answer next week. Mm-hmm. Which is really all you can do at this point, because let's be real, in situations like this, when there's an allegation of abuse or assault or harassment, it's usually someone's word versus someone else's, and that's all we'll ever know, because the incident itself is because of the nature of the incident. This is a much different animal. Because the accusation wasn't just, hey, he did this. It was, hey, he did this. Here's a court document showing it. Here's a transcript saying exactly what he said as he was doing it. And the investigation, in my mind, boils down to simply, is this real or not?
And the transcript comes from a audio recording that isn't allowed to be brought into Korean evidence. But was allowed to be transcribed. They just don't allow audio recordings as evidence.
And apparently some people have heard this. Like, there's a way to listen to it. I have not gone through the trouble of listening to it. Have any of you guys?
No.
I did read the transcript, and it's like, you know, it rings true with the kind of things you hear in these types of encounters.
If it's true, it's, and yet again, I think it is, personally, it's really, 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 really bad.
Okay, so if it's true, God, it's kind of shitty, like, but it seems, I feel like we're not really going out on a limb here. What happens next?
Yeah, lifetime ban.
Okay, so I was going to ask that. Like, now, well, I mean, there's a question of, like, what do you mean, is it true? Like, he hit her once, or this is an ongoing thing, and does
what
it matter?
Possibly, if they,
okay,
what
I will,
possibly would be like,
I will,
okay, this happened, but here's this mitigating...
Amend my statement. If whatever this transcript happened is true, that's all I need to know.
Yeah, I haven't read or heard the transcript, heard it or read the transcript, but I'm just saying, like, immediately people are going to start comparing this to, was it, you know, Noel Brown and things like that. Who, you know, and like, as far as what should the punishment be? And I don't even know that we should necessarily talk about what the punishment should be if we don't have the answer.
That is an interesting, I've been thinking about the same thing, like, how appropriate is it to get that far into it? Those situations are very different in a lot of ways. Obviously, the gravity of this is infinitely worse, but
which is exactly why.
There's differences in the sense that this did not happen during a CPT tournament. You know, it didn't happen here. I mean, there's a lot of differences, but it would certainly, in my opinion, have to be at least whatever Noel got, and probably more.
Oh, certainly, yeah, at least. But then you think about, like, you can compare this kind of a thing to other somewhat similar entities, like the NFL and all the stuff that's gone on in that, and, like, how long have players been banned, or have they even been really, you know, in these different situations? So it's like, yes, the first place your mind goes is lifetime ban, but, like, will that happen? Like, is if the
that
questions
is an interesting
of this
question.
Infiltration?
I'm not sure either.
Yeah.
I mean,
so, I mean,
I will say this, because, you know, I'm certainly not trying to minimize the assault of anyone related to an NFL player or in a relationship with an NFL player whenever that has happened. Those are all horrific. In my mind, the difference is that if you do this at an event, now that it's known that that this has happened, assuming again that it's true, if I'm a TO, there's no way in hell I let that person near my attendees. I'm going to have, if they come to my event, I'm responsible for their safety. And if I allow a person who has knowingly done this, for whatever reason, I can't in good conscience let them in.
Well, I mean, do it. But how many, like, you're not going to do like a background check on everyone that comes to a tournament, you know? And I'm sure that there have been people at tournaments that have had criminal records, you know, that you just wouldn't know about it because it's not related.
No,
and I'm not saying. And I'm not saying that, like, hey, we need to, if say infiltration's guilty here, like, oh no, we need to be nice to him and let up on the punishments or anything like that. I'm just trying to think of, well, what are the arguments that are going to come against, you know, the idea of a lifetime ban? And is there any credence to it? Like, you know, this is not directly related to fighting games. Infiltration's been at 100 events before where he didn't beat everybody up or anything like that. So you could argue, you know, it's like. And I agree with you fundamentally, Steve. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here, and like the kind of discussion and the kind of red tape that's going to inevitably come up if this verdict does come out to be what we think it's going to be. It's like, it's, I don't think it's as simple as just saying, oh, lifetime ban him. I mean, I think there's a little bit more to get in there.
You're totally right, and that's been a big issue in pro sports as well. Like, I mean, obviously, like, it's different. Like, we don't take people who did things before they started their histories and then ban them retroactively. But, and it gets weirder in this situation because as part of the Capcom Pro Tour, you haven't signed a contract that puts you in, like, you know, in football, you've signed a contract where you're like, if you commit a crime during your thing as a football, you've obligated yourself to be banned, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a more clear dividing line, whereas here there isn't. I don't know what you sign in the CPT. I don't know if you sign anything going to Capcom Cup. I don't know those sorts of details. But I do know that I think the classic response to what you're saying would be that this happened while he was a FGC pro, and it happened very recently, and it's extremely relevant. And that if we found out that anyone going to tournaments had done something like this, we would hopefully have similar punishments in mind.
Do you think so? The court of public opinion will take effect if
yes.
Capcom itself does not, right? Or if Panda Global itself does not.
Oh, he'll be socially ostracized pretty hard.
So what happens there? Let's say that this is all true, 100% true. He goes to an event. Again, I know you said it earlier, Steve, but he's never gotten into a physical altercation that we know of at an event with another player, with anything like that. This was...
No, and the nature of this is often that it's limited to domestic violence. It's a very common theme in domestic violence disputes, is that that is their only crime. Just as background.
So how do you think the FGC, and we don't speak for all the FGC, but we do have, you know, a variety of opinions on here that do have a bit of a range. How do you think the FGC should, if we were to even delve into that, respond to that if his sponsor or if the Pro Tour itself does not respond to this?
Are you talking about... Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, John.
Well, I mean, a huge part of that is... So, I mean, you have to have a detailed answer as to what he did. And like, we're just going to say the transcript and what you've read from that is indeed the case.
Yeah.
And I haven't read that, but what I'm hearing is it's pretty intense. And so,
it's.
I mean, yeah. I think that for at least a year, he wouldn't be able to physically show his face because people would... It would be too fresh in people's minds, and the emotional response would be there, and he would be, even if not banned by the powers that be, like you were saying, socially ostracized and just not allowed to be at the events, you know, like just yelled at or even physically removed by people at the event. But like, you give this kind of thing some time. I don't know, like maybe like socially speaking, he's got like a 2 or 5 year ban. I don't know, something like that. But it's really hard to kind of try to predict that kind of a thing. It just sucks, man.
Yeah, sure.
I will admit that my desire to see a lifetime ban is highly emotional in this case. But I do think that the ban has to come down harsher than what it was for Noel Brown, simply because, yes, it wasn't at an event, but the scope And the callousness and the coldness in this transcript, if you've read it, and I hope you haven't, to be honest, is just so beyond the pale that I just can't. I'm sorry. I'm at a loss for words for this. Mm-hmm. If there's any chance that he would be welcome back, I would say he has to do something rehabilitative.
Yeah.
And that obviously hasn't. Yeah. And I don't know what level that has to be in order for me personally to feel comfortable with that.
It's a very different situation, yes.
Yeah, I don't know what level that's going to be to make the majority of attendees or all attendees comfortable with that. But to say if Capcom says it wasn't at an event, we can't do anything about it, I just don't think that's the right call.
I'm pretty confident that if it is true, right, and we just keep saying that because we haven't gotten the final story on it, right?
Yeah, it would be. If it's not, then that's horrible, and I will publicly apologize.
And I want to talk about that next. What if it isn't true, right? But, and we'll only spend a little bit of time on that. But, okay, so if everything we've heard is true or seen is true, I don't see a scenario where Capcom or Pinnacle don't drop his ass because it's, like, toxic, right? Do you think Monster wants to be on the dude's jersey?
No.
Do you think the CPT wants to be at an event?
It's guaranteed. I think it's a no questions asked scenario that something happened. Okay, so I mean, Panda Global would drop him 1,000%. That'd be like a guarantee, I think. And tournaments, if Capcom didn't do a ban, like a lot of the tournaments would do it, and Capcom would have to do it. I don't know, but yeah, there you go.
As far as these things go, with like with the possibility of the person the transgressor, you know, getting off easier, I think that what that 100% actually comes down to, when you look at like, you know, pro sports and the examples that we've had in the past, it's like, well, what are they worth to the audience? Like, and as unfortunate as it is, people really will put a scale where they go, well, he did something really bad, but I also really like watching him play. And so I'm going to, you know, and there's more of a benefit of the doubt. And then you've seen already, like, on social media, you said earlier, people love Infiltration. There's a lot of people that don't even want this to be the case just because they don't want to imagine Infiltration as being this kind of monstrous person that's completely foreign to them. But like that, there's a lot bigger of a, you know, a possibility for that kind of a thing to happen when you're talking about things that are as widespread and popular as, you know, the NFL or the NBA. I don't think that fighting games, even if everyone really loved Infiltration in the fighting game community, that's going to be enough of a reason or a pull for someone like, you know, for the suits to say, well, okay, let's see how we can minimize this. So in this case, given that it comes out, you know, that he's actually done the deed, I think that one, Capcom, if they banned Noel Brown that quickly and for a year, there's no doubt in my mind that they would take action, because especially in the current, you know, the social media climate, you know, companies need to save face in huge ways, and to be associated with someone like this, you know, the emotional responses that people are going to have. You saw he's already lost something like 12,000 followers on Twitter. Those that are looking to run a business, make money off of this stuff, are going to immediately distance themselves from him. And they probably are already doing so, just with all of the negativity that's going around. And unfortunately, this comes down a lot more to money than we'd like it to be. But just based on that, I don't think that he has much of a chance, because he, as an entertainer, as even a product, if you will, doesn't weigh enough to counteract the amount of lash that's going to come out because of what's gone on.
And there's a level of separation that exists between NFL fans and NFL players, between professional sports fans and pro players, that doesn't exist in fighting games. You know, if I want to watch, you know, I'm from Minnesota. I was a Vikings fan. I am still a Vikings fan, even though
we'll talk about that in a moment.
Yeah, that was a rough weekend. But, you know, I went through with Adrian Peterson, finding out what he did. You know, I was happy that he didn't play for us again, but the difference is you know, what I say as a fan doesn't really matter, because if he continues to do his job, he's still separated from me. Mm-hmm. If Infiltration, or if anyone who does something like this goes to an event, guess what? I could be sitting right next to them. My brother and my sister, if they come along with me, will be sitting right could be sitting right next to them. So there is a level of separation that just makes this a much different situation than the comparisons that we're used to.
Yeah, I think the big takeaway is it does not look good for Infiltration. And if this is the case that, you know, he's guilty, nor should it look good. I don't think anyone's happy to hear that this person that was such a such an entertainer and such a star in the community, and as far as anyone knew, was such a good guy, has taken this turn, and this truth about him has come out, and it's like, no one's happy to hear that. So where do we go from here? Well, let's hope that we find out what happened specifically as soon as possible, and then, you know, the right moves are made and we can move past this. If there's any redemption, hopefully that happens. But if not, then lesson learned, and may it be a lesson that everybody else can learn from without actually having to go through it.
The last thing I'd like to say is have my little SJW moment. That's where I basically say that I'm not proud of a lot of what I saw out of the FGC responding to this. You don't have to bring pitchforks to people when allegations come down, but the fact of the matter is the vast majority of allegations of this sort are true. It is not common for people to make allegations at this level with no inkling of truth. It happens. It happens. You shouldn't instantly persecute the person, but you should listen, and you should not be horrifying in response, which a lot of people were. Please don't do that.
Do we want to just briefly say, just for the last... before we wrap up this topic,
not meme worthy, so don't meme it.
Yeah, it's fucked up, man. It's just like so disappointing. What if we are 100% wrong and he is 100% innocent of these crimes? Then what? What should happen? How do you come back from that? A lot of damage is done. He's lost those followers. He's, you know, there'll always be like the question hanging over his head. Panda Global has not dropped him. They're, you know, they're seeing it through. They're doing their due diligence. But what if we're all wrong? Besides the fact that we'll be the first to apologize for having taken this conversation this long.
If we're wrong, I will apologize, but yeah. I would hope that whoever created this, assuming this is one sick elaborate joke, which at this point, It's tough for me to believe that it is. But if it is some sort of sick joke, that I hope whoever perpetrated it is found and faces some sort of punishment for this. Because to do that to anybody is terrible.
Yeah.
Beyond the pale.
I think that's what happens, is the pitchforks just turn in a different direction, you know, and you just try to... Everyone wants their monster hunt, you know. So I think that's what would happen. It would just try to turn it towards the wife, or even towards the idea of people doing this kind of thing. And I don't know, it would be its own shit show. Albeit that's, I think, a better outcome than him actually being guilty. It's still still crappy, but I mean, if it's wrong, great, you know, good. It still is crappy, but it's better than this. So.
What if anything does this say about needing a governing body, or for us to mature in certain ways, like you made the NFL comparisons? Does that keep pushing us in that direction? I mean, it's not.
I don't know.
It's not the grassroots tournaments of a decade ago, you know.
Yeah, but how are you gonna regulate, like, on every level of someone's life when you're only if you're Capcom, or you're the FGC governing board or whatever? It's like, yeah, there's a certain extent where you say, you know, if these circles of your life are in this kind of order, that's going to directly affect this circle of your life that we're involved in, and therefore it's pertinent to us. But I mean, to begin to start saying, like, well, we need to write out, I don't know, I'm not, you know, as legally, you know, smart as, like, you know, maybe Donka would be on this kind of subject, but, you know, so, or at least he will be. Okay. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to say, like, okay, well, we need to make this regulation, that regulation, this regulation, because you have thousands and thousands of people, and I don't know, what does the NFL do? What does the you know, MLB do? All that kind of stuff. I would start there, I suppose, and try to draw similarities.
I think what this shows is that, you know, we're at this sort of halfway point where we kind of have governing bodies in Capcom over the Capcom Pro Tour and Tekken over the Tekken World Tour, but they're not really all that super powerful. You know, they don't have any influence outside of the tournaments that they themselves create. You know, they can't tell Combo Breaker what to do. Like, remember when Noel Brown got banned, they banned him from CPT events, but he could still go to that tournament if they didn't ban him. So if he wanted to go to, like, for example, East Coast Throwdown, he could. He just couldn't enter the CPT event. But that's sort of a sidetrack, and I apologize for that.
Yeah.
But, I kind of but agree that, like, it's hard to make a governing body for this. Like, it's just tough. Like,
And people are going to respond. Like, it's like, okay, you make the governing body in order to fix this problem, but how many problems come up with, like, okay, we get the fine print, and this is, you say it's Capcom, right? And this is their first run at doing something like this. How many issues are going to come up because of that? Like, that's a whole other can of worms once you start, you know, bringing forward regulation like that. I'm not saying we shouldn't. I'm just saying, like, there's a lot more to it than, oh, it fixes the infiltration issue. It's like, yeah, but there's a lot more. And so you really want to be careful before you start moving down this direction.
I mean, the whole nature of things is very hands-off right now. I mean, theoretically, someone could, like, make the, you know, CPT finals without anyone ever seeing their face by winning online events. And you don't sign a contract or anything when you win an online event. So some random entity could just, you know, show up to CPT finals without without even being known by Capcom. Let alone, you know, seen, sure, investigated, signed a contract, etc. So, I mean, we've gotten by, and obviously issues like this require some sort of response. And I agree, it's very difficult, like, what do you do? But I think for now, we can hopefully keep kind of hoping for one-off responses from CPT before we hire a commissioner or whatever.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't think we necessarily need to go to a commissioner route or a governing body route, but I think Capcom and Bandai Namco and whoever else decides to run a big circuit, they got to be ready for situations like that. There has to be some sort of codified response where, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to rise to the level of, if you commit this level of domestic assault, you get this punishment, but if you only do this, you get this. But you have to have some sort of plan in place to say, okay, if this happens, this is the process. We investigate, and then we come to a ruling, which could be between A and Z. So
it's pretty incredible, really. Not even in the NFL is there much precedent for something like this, right? Like, this is a crime that was charged in Korea, not in the U.S.
And late last year, if I'm not mistaken.
A lot of times we defer to the U.S. governing body, and we say, if they get 5 years of jail, 5 years of jail is what he gets, and, you know, when he comes back, we accept it or whatever. There is, like, no sort of thing to really base this off of. This will be, and I feel bad for Capcom in that sense. They have to make a purely on their own unprecedented decision if this comes down. So
it's going to be different. What if Korea just hits him with a fine, you know, just because of their culture or something
like that? So far,
that's
what's happened. I think that's all they really can hit him with. It's like,
because you were saying, like, you can't have, like, audio evidence and things like that.
It's
like, it just sounds
very different.
So it's like, what if the powers that be under his regulation area go, he has to pay us, you know, $5,000, and then that's it. And then we're done, and he's clean, and it's free. And it's like, are we okay with that? And yeah, it's so muddy. It's so muddy.
All right, guys, let's, I think we've exhausted the topic other than waiting for the final verdict to come out. On this show, Best of Five, we talk about fighting games, but we definitely don't shy away from topics like this. And I would encourage other people in the community to have these conversations because they're uncomfortable, they're awkward, they're new in some ways. But talking about it, we can arrive at a consensus. Thank you, Beaver, for the win for that
timely sub.
Yeah.
Perfect.
We'll get you a Daigo clap there on that one. All right, guys. So there was some other news, this time in the Smash community. It's sad as much as it is heartwarming. Mike, do you want to talk about this, or do you want Steve to set it up?
Sure, I can bring it up. There was a member of the Smash community. Do we have his name?
Steve?
Chris Taylor.
Chris Taylor, who was dying of terminal illness and said that his last, you know, one of his last dreams was to get to play Smash Ultimate, which I think is coming out in November. You know, before he passed away, which was scheduled to happen.
It comes
well
out
before
December 7th.
December, yeah. Which is scheduled to happen well before that. And, you know, Hungrybox retweeted it. A bunch mm-hmm. of other Smash names retweeted it. And it happened. Like, it really happened. They brought an early version of Smash Ultimate to, I think, either his hospital or his house. And he got to play it. And he got to play it with his friends. And he had a blast with it. And he posted a ton about it. And there's really heartwarming pictures of it. Unfortunately, he passed away this morning, but I mean, it couldn't have been a more well-received and sentimental and just class act move from Nintendo and from everyone involved.
It was, I remember him tweeting about it. It was a big deal for Nintendo to, because it was loaded on a Switch, right? And the demo, and it's like, that's pretty, it's not a diamond or anything like that, but it's pretty highly sought after. So like they had to go through a couple of different, you know, hoops to do this and bring it to his home, and he got to play for about 3 hours with his brother and his friend. And those photos that you referenced, you can very much tell he's in like the later stages of cancer. And I think this is the fourth, he had beaten it three times, and this was the fourth run in, and he had ultimately decided to go off of treatment. And in the images, like, you can tell, like, this is someone that's been battling cancer for a while. But despite that, you know, he's in his bed, he's bedridden, pale and such, and very frail looking. But the look of joy on his face while he's doing this, even though all that other stuff is very much present, it's like that warms you up a little bit, you know. And to say it's like it's a terrible situation, it's a terrible backdrop behind him, but in the front, it's like this beautiful, like, kind of ray of light. And that came from being able to play a fighting game. It's like there's some poetry in that. And so it's like in this really hard time, you try to grab at whatever you can, you know, to feel a little bit of solace. And it's like it's really beautiful that it played out this way with him getting to, you know, actually like get his last wish. And you know, I was writing about this 2 days ago when it kind of blew up on the internet, when it happened, and everyone goes, you know, it's probably a few weeks, a few months before he actually passes. It was like 2 or 3 days, you know, I mean, from when he actually was playing, maybe a week. But no one imagined there. You can see the photos there. I think no one, I think, really realized, like, maybe sans people that were really close to him and really knew that, like, it was so close to the end. And so it was very much a last minute thing, making it, you know, that much more poetic and awesome that it happened. But yeah, they're everyone's kind of sure. Feeling
I really can't say enough about, like, I mean, he made an AMA about it. Like, he was literally saying things like it made everything, like, okay, like, couldn't have been a cooler thing for Nintendo to do. I really didn't think it was going to happen. Like, when I saw Hungrybox retweeted, I was like,
good luck.
There's just too many hurdles for this to go through, et cetera. But the fact that they did it is, like, too cool. Like, they literally made this a million times better. So,
that's great.
Shout-outs.
What's the Smash community term for, like, excuses?
Johns.
Talk about no Johns on this guy, right? Like, give me that controller. I'm still going to play these assholes. I wonder who he made.
Snake.
He's Snake?
Yeah.
Nice. So, shouts to Nintendo and... Rest condolences peace, to that family. Rest in peace for sure, man. All right. Let's transition to some other topics. Some Street Fighter V news. We got some Raphael. We have for Soul Calibur 6. There's an open beta
maybe
this weekend.
Maybe plan this order the best.
But, why don't we jump on to, and I know Alon's very excited for the Soul Calibur 6 beta. What can you tell us, bud? Unmute yourself.
Sorry, there's too many buttons back here. So, there's going to be a big old network stress test / beta. This is actually the first time I'm actually looking at this graphic. So, this weekend, only available on consoles, no Steam yet. You can preload it on the 27th. And hey, Epistel, thank you for 2 months. We'll give you claps in a bit. It starts on 28th at 8 a.m. Pacific, which is like 10 a.m. here and 11 a.m. Eastern, and it ends that Sunday at 8 p.m., which is 10 p.m. and 11 p.m. Eastern and Central, or Central and Eastern, respectively. 15 playable characters, 9 stages. That's pretty huge. I was wondering how many characters they were going to have in there for us to mess around with. So apparently the only mode you'll be able to play is ranked. So it's strictly kind of like what Street Fighter V did for a beta, so it's mostly the just stress test networks, which means they are caring about how the online play is going to be and how the netcode is going to work. So I'm excited for it.
I hope so, for sure. I'm actually pretty excited about this game myself. And I don't know. The last few big games have not really gotten it right. It's like so hit or miss.
That. What other big games?
I like Dragon Ball and Tekken are both input delay based netcodes, which I can't stand. And Street Fighter V has its own issues. So I'm like, I'm really hoping it's like what we want it to be, but I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. It's exciting news. By the way, don't leave yet. Wait until we're done.
But, I know.
But the Event Hubs podcast has dropped.
No, don't say it.
Oh, Mike Ross is on it. Here he is.
Wow. Whoa, that's the more important
Damn,
one.
Damn, what a get.
Wait, can we just play that here?
Yes.
You can just host it.
Let's just steal all the views off of
it. Ultra Chen will be cool with it. You know, they ain't got nothing planned.
I wanted to post it a couple of hours ago, but the way thing, and I'm not the one, obviously, I'm not the one posting to the front page right now.
Yo,
so
tease us
I'm
a little
sorry
bit.
That it went up
Tease us a little bit. What do y'all get into?
Well, here's what happened. Okay. John messaged Mike Ross and was like, come on the Event Hubs podcast. And Mike was like, what about Best of Five? And he said, fuck no.
Mike actually said, I'd rather do Best of Five. And I said,
Best of Five doesn't pay as well.
One of the things that I think, obviously, the big thing with Mike Ross in the last few years has been basically his leaving the public spotlight of the FGC and going very much into the background. The last kind of thing we saw from him was the esports cross-counter video where he and Gutex kind of shit on esports a little bit, and then they had this little kind of gag at the end. So people weren't really sure. It's like, was he serious? Was that all just for the sake of a gag and they want to sell shirts? But then Mike did indeed disappear. So when I spoke to him, he said, I don't want to talk about me. So a lot of the podcast, just telling you guys now, is not much of – there's no – hey, what were you thinking here, and what were you doing here, and where do you? And it's not that stuff. It's more Mike's commentary on some of the things that have happened recently in the FGC, a little bit of history, a little bit of speculation about the future, and a lot of it was just like people, I think, just want to hear Mike Ross's voice in the FGC again because it's been so long, and you'll definitely get that here. But he's dancing to his own beat right now. And I think that that's something that he very much needed. Without going too in depth, and I'll probably just leave it here. My personal gathering from the whole Mike Ross thing was that he ultimately started to feel, and these are my words, not his, but he ultimately started to feel more like a product and more like a means to, you know, sell stuff or a face to put in front of a camera, and lost his relationship and his communication with a lot of people, you know, as many Twitter followers and as many acknowledgments on social media as you get, you and we've seen this a million times with other celebrities, you know, of even bigger nature and mainstream stuff, but you lose your real human connection to people, and that does something to someone's psyche. And Mike, I think, had the control and the awareness to identify that and choose to walk away from the fame and everything so that he could refine that in himself, because it's more important than all the other, you know, the glitter and the gold and everything. So
John,
that's my takeaway. But
I can't wait to listen to it. Two questions. Did you talk about the AMA?
Briefly, but I referenced it a few times in my questions to him. But anything specifically, you mean?
No, I just want to know if you talk about it, because I am curious how maybe he felt after that. And two, what do you think he would say about Capcom Connect?
I saw that. I think it was today or yesterday. It was the first time that popped up. I don't know. is it a replacement of Pro Talk? I haven't even seen most of it, so I couldn't really tell you, but I don't know. I think what would he say? He'd say, hey, you know, that's fine. You do you. That's not my thing anymore.
Now, just a reminder, Ultra Chan has changed their time slot. They're going to start immediately after us, and we'll have a brief preview of what they'll be talking about here at the end of the show. And then this new show that Capcom is putting on out of Oakland's Esports Arena will be debuting tonight.
Right,
and
after Ultra Chan.
There's not a ton of info on it, other than it's going to be kind of like a variety of things, from show matches to topics to presumably CPT recaps. I think one of the Wynn brothers is one of the hosts. Crackbean's on there?
Yeah.
I really wanted to troll Crack Fiend and play this one show match from Absolute Battle 6 when he went up against Tommy Guns after all that shit talking. But instead, I'll just tell you, go look for that on Panda X Gaming's YouTube channel. Okay, so moving on, gentlemen. Any other thoughts? I think it's badass that you got that, John, and I can't wait to listen to that interview or that podcast.
Thanks.
Street Fighter V stuff. Street Fighter V has a customizable dojo stage.
It's live now, by the way. It went live like half hour ago or so.
Hey, check it out. There it is.
It's like the idea is obviously here that you can earn different points to buy things to add to your dojo. So theoretically, your dojo will look different than someone else's dojo. Is there any info on like whether you can upload this somewhere else? Is this like exclusive to your PS4? I don't know.
So apparently
we're gonna. Go ahead.
Yeah, let me add one thing to that. Apparently, you can make community dojos.
Community dojos.
It's basically like a clan where you earn points for your specific for your particular dojo by playing matches and earning things, and you get like unlockable cosmetic materials to place in the dojo to showcase your achievements as a community.
D-Vitra is saying we should have a best of five dojo. What y'all think?
I was going
to
say, we'll have to make one.
All right, yeah, we'll make a BO5 clan.
Yeah, we can do that. No, I was actually going to ask what people thought about us making a best of five dojo.
We'll need donations so that we can buy, you know, all the stuff.
I think at least $1 million.
Yeah.
Well, it's just so we can do the best job. It's all going back to the fans, right?
And 3/4 of that is Steve's salary.
Yeah. It's hard. You know, those recaps don't write themselves, you know?
No, they do not.
Yeah, who's the clan leader? Probably John.
That doesn't sound right.
Probably me, because, my name comes first alphabetically.
Nice. Steve? It starts with
Ace.
An S.
Ace.
Officially Ace now.
Trevzor says we should play for it. I mean, then it'll probably be... I don't know. Who's better right now? You haven't played in a while.
I think John would kick my ass.
I vote for Efren to be the leader because he has it on his PlayStation 4.
This is accurate.
Yeah. Efren messed me up in Street Fighter 4, so I think that just, you know...
What are we going to have a four-way T-Hawk showdown in Street Fighter 4?
I would win that, and I don't even know how to play the character.
I lost to your guy.
Can Condor dive if he jumps backwards or no?
Only with EX.
Only EX. Oh, yeah, that's fine. I can get an EX bar, no problem. Should we go back to talking about the thing that we were talking about, though?
The dojo?
Yeah.
I am really excited about this. In terms of Street Fighter 5, it may be too little, too late, whatever. The fact that Capcom is doing this means that they are on the pulse of the 2018.
Yep, and sure.
I've been talking like Driftwood, for example, who doesn't touch 5 at all and only brings it up so that he can shit on it. He's like, what's this dojo mode? And I explained it, and he goes, I would probably put some money down to get some dojo stuff. And I'm like, yes, you would. People love this kind of thing. And I bet you that Capcom's going to see a lot more money coming in. And this is probably something that we're going to see in fighting games moving forward, given that it's successful like I think it's going to be. But great move. I think it's very smart.
I think what we see moving forward is going to be more important because of the people who are primarily driven by that sort of thing. How many of them are still playing Street Fighter V 2.5 years after launch? I feel like the heart of who this would be for is for the, I hate to say casual, but...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And those people, for a large part, have moved on to other games. Mm-hmm. So, but I don't have a problem with them doing things that will hopefully be at launch of Street Fighter VI or whatever other, what their next project is going to be, because I don't want to see a repeat of Street Fighter V where the launch was the gameplay catered to the more casual player, but the lack of content being focused on the tournament player is just such a weird split that I want to see more of this stuff at launch as an option at least.
One of the biggest things about this too is that it's specifically catered towards content creators. You can put your CFN and you can put your Twitch stream, your Twitter handle, whatever, any information like that apparently that you want somewhere in the background of the dojo. And so your viewers can see that, or they can immediately identify that it's you that's doing something. It's another way of branding. And I think that it's going to really help out those, at least in the future, that want to, you know, that stream this kind of stuff. They get to further put their brand on it and have, you know, like strengthen that relationship with their viewers.
Y'all want to do a block grab?
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Oh, yeah. I like block grab.
What the hell?
It's cute.
This is going to be a quick one. Quick and dirty, even. There's two new costumes. Let me see if I can get a damn picture of this.
I thought there was like three. Wasn't there a Mecha Geef too or something?
Wait, bro. Know. All right, we're starting off with Mecha Geef. Block and grab on it.
I think it looks pretty good. Is that like, is that his wing coming out? Does he have wings?
No.
Or is that like that's part of the plane?
That's a good
that's
question.
That's his fin.
Does he have a fin?
Yes.
Instagrab.
Does he really have a fin?
Yes.
Oh,
with
grab.
A rocket on it.
Grab for sure. That's cool.
John, block or grab on this badass...
Technically, he should get more health if he's Mecha Geef, right? And then maybe that'll make him a good character.
I don't know. He might be made like aluminum foil or something.
Yeah. Well,
I like the wings and the fins.
It's funny that we get, we're getting a lot of costumes for characters that are at like the bottom of the tier list
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, man. What's up with that?
Well, maybe they're trying to get people to play them. They're trying to get those casuals again. Nah, it's too late. But in all seriousness, this is a favorite from Street Fighter 4 and Cross Tekken, at least in the background. I'm not sure if they had the skin in Cross Tekken or not, but I think it's a smart move. It's well done. It looks good for Street Fighter 5 with like the new graphics and everything. So I'll go ahead and grab.
Steve, Ace. I'm sorry.
That is a... No, you can call me Steve because you're calling on me last. only when I'm first am I Ace. This is a standing 720 grab. It's just ridiculous.
It's a cool costume.
I feel that. Okay. Ilan, care to block and or grab on Mecha Geef?
Yeah, so real quick, I just want to point a couple of things out. First, okay. If we zoom and enhance, see to the right side of his face, there's another rocket there, so they are wings.
They're wings.
Or
got
they
it,
could
got
be
it.
Two fins.
Now, if they are two fins, which is what I'm hoping for, if they are two fins, I want to zoom in a little bit further. See the very middle of his forehead? That is a shark with a freaking laser beam attached to his freaking head.
No, zoom in more. I don't see it.
What? Are you, what?
There, look at the little green on the middle of his forehead. That's going to be a laser.
Enhance it.
There's going to be a laser.
He can use a laser. That should be like a new move.
That's a laser. So he's a shark with a freaking laser beam attached to his freaking head. So I'll freaking grab.
Now, let me just ask you guys a question. How does the aerodynamics of this make any sense with these two fins sticking out his back trying to do...
If you go back to the image, he's also got rocket boosters on the back of his feet, or like on the back of his ankles, sort of, maybe his calves.
Is that to counteract the horrible dynamics created by the
fins?
I mean, Laura fights without a sports bra. This game just does not care about physics.
That's the
best. She got a sports gi top.
Actually, you know what this reminds me of? You guys ever play Sonic 2? This reminds me of that last boss.
Yeah, I can see that.
All right, moving on.
Okay.
What everybody's been waiting for, Vega's original costume. This actually looks badass.
Ugh.
But
it does look good.
Ugh.
So
why was it not an option in the first place?
100% question.
Because money.
I think his new costume, I think his default in this is way better.
No way.
Yeah,
the frilly
why is the first time free?
Don't worry about it. Because they want to get you hooked.
Because they give you the good stuff the first time, and then, yeah.
It looks okay. I mean, yet again, it looks like a color 10 or whatever, or like a costume, or like when you enter a code for one of the costumes and it gives you the alternate version.
Is this bringing you back, though? Vega?
It doesn't really fuck. I mean, if they make him as good as ST, it'll bring me back.
That's the thing. It's like, he can nostalgically climb on the cage.
Is he good at anything? Like, does he have a frame trap now? Can he do a combo? Like, if any of those are yes, maybe I'll play Street Fighter V again. God.
Okay,
this is insulting to me. Like, every time they give Vega something that isn't, like, a buff, just get out. Yes, I'm mad.
I can tell.
So do you block or grab?
I block.
Oh. His claw's golden now. I don't know if it was before.
I don't know what you're insinuating, John.
Okay, who's next?
John, you are, bud.
Oh, it's cool. I think it looks good. I'm trying to think. I guess his actual costume in 5 has the white Spanish frilly shirt, right? Unbuttoned yes. shirt, I guess. To me, it's like this is what Vegas looked like the whole time, but I'm sure it's different. And it looks nice here as one of the OG Street Fighter characters. I think he's the last of the Shadaloo bosses, even though Sagat just dropped, to get a nostalgic costume, be it that like Bison hasn't changed his costume in 25 years. I think it's fine. Like, I do think it should have been in the game probably a lot longer, and it probably shouldn't have been as big of a deal, but it's here now. I'll grab it. It's fine. I'm not upset by it.
Steve?
Everyone should have their nostalgia costume at launch.
We need a live feed of Efren's computer right now. Just like the whole screen.
Wait for it, man. Wait for it. It's coming up.
I just want to know why the first time's free. So I'm going to grab, but I just don't.
All right. Don't. We have a... I'm sorry. Elon, block or grab on Vega's original costume here?
Well, if the first time's free, I'll grab.
Okay.
That's a good answer, actually.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now, we have a last-minute block grab edition here.
No, we're not.
Are we doing... Okay, block or grab on Bowsette? Or
block. I am over Buet. This.
Oh God!
I am over this block.
Why aren't you linking up all of the Instagram models?
These are the
models?
Worst pictures. You could get way better ones than these.
I know. It took me a while to get some that were appropriate for the stream.
I'm gonna grab on Bowsette. I'll use every grab I have for the rest of the history of the show.
What about Buet?
I don't care. Bowsette. No, I already used them all on Bowsette. Like, they're all gone. Like, I grabbed forever, infinitely. I might as well block the rest of the time because she is the number one grab of all grabs.
Is this meme? I'm trying to wrap my head around this meme. Is I don't know if it's a meme. That they just gave Peach a cleavage that was noticeable? Is that all this
so
is?
There's a okay, so in you can in the new game, Toadette can wear a crown, Peach's crown, and then she turns into, like, Peach wearing some of Toadette's clothing. So she's okay. Peachette. And sure. Then they were like, what if someone else got their hands on the crown? Mm-hmm. And it was Bowser. Bowser became Peachette. Because, like, if you look at Toadette's Peachette, then it kind of looks like, you know, Toadette's Peach. Peach. So now it's like the theory is that Bowser would look like Peach.
And Mario hooks up with her.
I'm over this. I'm not over this already.
And I'll never
block.
Get over it.
Block.
Yeah, you know what I wish? Bit. If we're doing fantasy block grabs, I'll just do one real quick. The Chun-Li, another Chun-Li costume, but wait.
Block.
Wait, Steve. From the Street Fighter II animated movie where she fights Vega. And she's in the, just like,
towers,
the,
hotel,
the
yeah.
rope.
That's mm-hmm. a badass scene, block. By the way.
All right.
Moving on. What else you got? Because there's one thing
what
I want
about,
to...
What
I'm
about,
sorry, I'm sorry.
What about Steve-Ette?
Yeah,
no.
Can we get Steve Ed fan art?
Oh my gosh, can someone draw Steve Ed?
Steve
on a
Ed! We need Steve Ed!
No one do that.
The
Let's
best
talk about
Steve Ed to get tweeted to Best of Five show will be featured and get a costume.
No, get a Steve Ed costume.
Yeah, we'll get him a Steve Ed body pillow.
You know, Street Fighter's got an actual arcade version coming out, right?
So yeah, what? But also Steve-Ette.
Steve-Ette.
I don't care about the arcade version. Who gives a shit?
At
3v3
best
league.
Of V show, hashtag Steve-Ette.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Ace-Queen Steve-Ette.
Yeah, I like what Hassan said in the chat. Ace-Queen offsuit.
Ace-Queen offsuit!
Good shit.
Ace-Queen on
And
off.
I'm going to link some of our former Best of Five fan artists and make sure that we have a good competition going. I'm putting out a bounty on this. In fact, what are we allowed to offer? I don't know. I'll think about it. We'll talk about it next time.
So
it's going to be good. The prize is going to be good.
Capcom announced that they're actually coming out with an arcade version of Street Fighter V.
That's
me
snoring.
It's coming out in October. It's going to get a test version in October. But they also announced, this is something that caught me by a little bit of surprise, an official 3v3 team league. That is going to start next spring, but they'll reveal more details in October. And it's recognized by the Japanese Esports League or Esports Union, so it will have prizing. There will be, you assume, licenses issued. So a lot of people are kind of excited about this.
Yeah, I think it's cool. They've done something similar, but I guess not official partner like this, right?
This is, yeah. They're both interesting news. I mean, like, the arcade thing is way late. Like, this would have been way cooler news a couple years ago. But it's still good, and I think it helps in Japan a good amount. Like, that is still a limiting factor for players there. And I think it's a decent novelty here as well. So
I'll grab.
No, we're not blocking or grabbing.
Block or grab, but you're grabbing on the 3 grabbing. League. Why not? All right. Moving on, Steve. What else you got for us, pal? Actually, there's one thing I want to talk about. You got your own scoop here. Forget Mike Ross being on the Event Hubs podcast. You got the scoop on who is the new character coming to Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this was... I wasn't there at Tokyo Game Show, but I did have a source on the inside. Obviously, Android 17 is the last character of this season pass, but they are working on a second season. And I got a small clip. It's not final. It is still subject to change, but I wanted to share it with you. So let's take a look.
Elon doesn't even have it queued up.
Yo, there was nothing on the drive.
Yes,
man.
There is. Well, now I need to download. Oh, Jesus, man.
Jesus Christ.
Well, in the meantime, we can talk Jerick. About it. We asked everybody if they were excited about 3v3 Team League. We can talk about that while he's queuing it up.
He hasn't queued up the question of the day either. Just kidding. I hope.
Question of the day, would you, Elon? My goodness.
There's too much happening. Hold on.
Yeah.
How many Gokus are coming, Steve?
We did ask you, are you interested in the team-based fighting circuit? Piuzera said he's very interested. This could be a breath of fresh air from the standard 1v1 format. Papa Lotus said that it would be difficult to execute in a way that would be beneficial and profitable. Maybe it'd be easier with an arcade-style setup, but it would require something in person. Dr. Swagenheimer, shout outs to Minnesota, saying, nah, man, let the individual shine. An event isn't out of the question, though, but nothing like CPT. Abe Law says that he thinks the thing about fighting games is that they're based on the individual dynamic. So with FGC teams, it's more about a collection of individuals as opposed to a team. Maybe if the fighting game is built with some sort of team dynamic built in. And what's her face said very. It adds more layers to the competition that makes it much more compelling for viewers. Players get more salty when they can blame teammates for a loss, and it's fulfilling to watch some teams find their cohesion and rise above the dream teams.
All right, guys. Go ahead.
Well, just on this subject, it's funny that you bring it up like this because, again, back to the podcast with Mike Ross, he brought up Cross Tekken. And the idea that, like, that would have been the esports game because you could have had teams and the
it
dynamic.
It was fun.
There.
I liked that. I was, like, totally on board with the team thing. People really wrote it off, but it was a fun Evo.
It was what turned me off from the game out because, like, the people at Wednesday Night Fights, like, all the good guys were immediately, like, already on a team with each other. And it's like, I don't want to depend on somebody else, and I don't want to be the one that screwed it up for the team. I was afraid of that. So it's
I think
like,
it was a little too early for that to happen. Yeah. I think, like... In an era with better online play on PC, it would be way more feasible.
Who did Mike Ross and Cumblefiend lose to that time?
It Laugh and Infiltration?
It was. All right, guys, check out this reveal for Dragon Ball.
Yeah, this is...
Wow. That's big news.
Like, wow.
Whoa. Goku.
An unofficial off-stream, take it to Twitter, question of the day. Would you grab Stevette, ace-queen Stevette? The people
nobody
the, we
grab
want to
me.
Know.
Please. Nobody.
I'd grab him with both hands. I'd standing 720 grab him.
You know, hold on a second. I never got to block or grab the Bowsette stuff, but I do have something to say on that note. People are giving Sonic Fox a lot of shit for being a furry, but now everybody's falling in love with, like, a humanized Peach Bowser
thing. Welcome to the internet. Duh.
Yeah, I just want to call out the hypocrisy.
Well, this, I mean, maybe I wanted to ask Sonic Fox this in person, but I always wondered, like, do the goofy girls count as furries?
Why?
Like,
because
the
you're
girls
into them?
From Goof- I'm just asking.
For
just
a friend?
For the sake of it. Like, do those count for a friend as furries? So
did you
Sonic
watch,
Fox,
did you watch
if anyone knows him closely, someone ask him.
All right, guys, we're going to wrap up the show. There was a couple other bits. Andrew 17, we had a trailer. She came out, or he came out, or is coming out. Raphael had a trailer for Soul Calibur 6, yada, yada, yada. All right.
Oh, Injustice Finals are going to be on TV Tuesday, wow. November 16th. It's going to be on Disney, or November 13th, excuse me. It's going to be on Disney XD and ESPN3. $100,000 prize pool for the finals. So that got announced. So that will be.
All right, guys. Yeah. Just to remind everybody, Ultra Chen has changed their time slot. They're now coming start up right now, immediately after us in a couple of minutes. And their topics tonight are, of course, the Infiltration news, and they will be reviewing their favorite moments from the Tokyo Game Show and other recent events. And they're taking a look back at Marvel versus Capcom Infinite, which came out 1 year.
Yeah,
came out a year ago. So that's cool. Show them. We want all of our viewers to go and show them their support, and hopefully they'll reciprocate. Come back
and
to us.
Then go check out the Mike Ross podcast.
Yeah,
after
instead this. Of watching Capcom Connect, go and watch reminisce about yes. Capcom Pro Talk. Just kidding. And then Capcom Connect is a brand new show, debuts tonight as well after Ultra Gen. So shout outs. Thank you everybody who watched. Thank you everybody who subbed. Shout outs to our lovely panel here and Elon as well. And we'll see you guys next week. Thank you for watching.
Send in your Steve ads.
Steve ads.